Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
1 Kings. He never called on God. You know, it almost gets discouraging reading this when you realize from true stories the sinfulness of man. We read it and think, why would you do that? And they're looking back from history going, you do it too. How quickly we can forget God. In our last study, we considered the old prophet taking the man of God to his house and lies to him. For his disobedience, he was killed by a lion, buried by the old prophet, and Jeroboam does not depart from his evil ways. That's what we were left with at the end of chapter 13. Jeroboam still hasn't changed. And as we will see, he will never change. A man blessed by God, given all the opportunities, and he failed. Well, our text tonight is 1 Kings 14. Let's start at verse 1. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet. Now I want to point something out. Look at verse 1. At that time, Abijah, and go down close to the end of verse 2, Ahijah. So pay attention, Ahijah and Abijah. Remember, Abijah has a B in it for the boy. Okay? Just so you don't get confused on that. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet there, which told me that I should be king over this people. And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey and go to him, and he shall tell thee what shall become of the child. Jeroboam's wife did so and arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be, when she cometh in, she shall feign herself to be another woman. And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet, as she came in at the door, that he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam, why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am set to thee with heavy tidings. Go, tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in mine eyes. But thou hast done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods, and molten images, to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jerusalem him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung, till it be all gone. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall be the fowls of the air eat. For the Lord has spoken it. Arise thou therefore, get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there was found some good thing toward God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord shall raise him up a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day. But what? Even now. For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land, which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin, and who made Israel to sin. And Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. And when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. And they buried him. And all Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by the hand of his servant Ahijah the prophet. We see this child. We don't know how old this child is. We don't know what the illness is. But we do know that he is sick, must be seriously sick, for Jeroboam to put on such a scheme to get information from the prophet. He sends his wife in a disguise. Verses 6 through 18, Jeroboam's wife comes to the prophet and he tells her of God's judgment. This is pathetic. It really is. How selfish, how ungodly people can be. The title says it all. He never called on God, referring to Jeroboam. Through all of this, through all of the warnings, through all the blessings, through the miracles, this stubborn man would not break. It was easier for God to break the altar than it was to break his heart. Well, let's take a look at this passage. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick, and Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam. Get thee to Shiloh, because there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over his people." Let that soak in. And he thinks he's going to deceive this guy? "And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child." He's got a lot of confidence in this guy, you know it. For somebody that doesn't want to bow to God, he has a lot of confidence in God's prophet. Verse 4, "And Jeroboam's wife did so and arose, went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of age." Chapter 13 closed with Jeroboam continuing in sin. And here, his son is in ill health. Can we conclude that this illness is upon the son because of father's sins? It appears that way, but we don't know for sure. Was God trying to get his attention? Probably. We have to be careful how we judge people. "Oh, you're sick. You must be in sin." That's not true. It may be, but not necessarily. A lot of good people get sick and die. Several billion people have gone before us and proved that. God is merciful, yet he is righteous. For some reason, he has let this child be sick. And it's interesting, there's something good in this kid. We'll get more to that later. How the grieving of a parent is when their child suffers. He wants to know the future of his son. Well, you've already been told what's going to happen to the kingdom if you don't pay attention and serve God. That doesn't seem to bother you. He only wants God when he needs something from him. "And I want to now know the future of my child." When his hand withered, remember that in the last chapter? He cared only for the restoration of the hand and not for God's forgiveness that caused it. He was more concerned with his health than with his spiritual being. Remember 1 Kings 13:1, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood there by the altar to burn incense, and he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord, saying, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born in the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee he shall offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." This is going to be the results of Jeroboam's life. It's going to take several hundred years, but it will come to pass. Let us not be more concerned with our health than we are with our spiritual well-being. It's interesting. He wants to know the future of his son In reality, he would rather have his fortune told than his spiritual condition revealed. We would wonder what would happen if he did know the future. If the son would live, would he change? Would he continue in his wicked ways? Would he be thankful? The truth is, we don't need to know tomorrow. It is for us to trust and obey. You know what? I'm glad I don't know what tomorrow holds. I'm glad. One day at a time. It's interesting that Jeroboam seeks an answer from Ahijah rather than from the golden calves that he set up. This man is a mess. He sent his wife to the prophet. Now, she had to be disguised, and people can hide from man, but never from God. She brought a gift. So here she is disguised, I perceive, as a peasant. She's not going to disguise herself as royalty. That's the whole point. Jeroboam doesn't want anybody to know who she is. And verse 3, take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey and go. So she has this appearance of a commoner, and she takes a humble gift. Even though I have a feeling that they were certainly able to have given much more, but it would have not gone along with the guise, the disguise she had. So she arose and she goes and gets to the house of Ahijah. But he couldn't see the aging process. The body wears out. This man has now lost his eyesight by reason of his age. He's obviously a prophet in good standing with God, and he's going to age and lose his eyesight and one day die, because we all die. 5, and the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask thee a thing for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her when she comes in. She's going to pretend to be another woman. Now Ahijah, as we see, is the guy that already told Jeroboam, you're going to get the kingdom. He knows this guy can predict the future with God's insights. And so he is still talking and seeking this Ahijah prophet, tell me the future of my son. Can I put a puzzler in front of you? Should his wife have obeyed? That's a tough one. Now, we don't see any prayer. Lord, I don't want to be a part of this. I perceive she's in the same spiritual condition of her husband. There's no questioning. There's no seeking the Lord's will. There's a good start. The truth is, we're not told. But it seems that she does not care for the things of God. She has no problem going up there disguised and lying to a prophet. By God's command, Ahijah the prophet spoke boldly. He was not to fear her status as a queen. He was not to be influenced by the gift. And he was not to be influenced by her efforts to conceal her identity. He heard the sound of her feet. She opens the door, comes in, and he says, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Now, there's already this plot, this scheme. She's apparently made it from Jeroboam over to Shiloh, and so far, so good. She walks in the door, and he identifies her immediately. Better yet, a blind man identified her immediately. And he has words, you go tell your husband this. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, verse 7, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been. You have failed to do what you were to do. Now, the truth is there's sin abounding. Fortunately, we've got this Abijah. And there are obviously other godly people around. God always has a remnant. But it can't get discouraging to look around and these stories, and you just see the evil all over. But God is still God. He's on the throne, and he is in control. God has allowed Jeroboam to ascend to the throne knowing, because God knows everything, knowing that he was going to be a problem. God knows what he's doing. I want you to consider this verse, Psalm 75:7. But God is the judge, he putteth down one and setteth up another. God's in control of who's in control, earthly speaking. Well, why does God let so-and-so in that position? Because God's smarter than we are, and he's got a plan. And you're part of that plan. God reminds Jeroboam of his blessings, for they testify of his goodness and mercy. There is nothing for Jeroboam to be rebelling against. What's your problem? 9, thou hast done evil above all that were before thee. Stop and think about that statement. How would you like that said to your face? Has done evil above all that were before thee. Whoa! This is one wicked man. For thou hast gone back and made the other gods molten images to provoke me to anger. Did he not realize this is what Solomon did with all those wives? Therefore, he's going to bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam. And he will cut off of Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall. I want to stop there. Throughout the years, I have encountered this concept. I have not found in my mind a satisfactory explanation. I'll be honest. I'm convinced it's referring, usually when it's used, it's talking about a group of people, particularly the men, and it's not in a good sense. Why the Bible would use that description, I don't know. When I figure it out, I'll let you know. I know this, it's not good. The dogs are going to eat those that die in the city, and those that die in the field, the birds of the air will eat them. He says, go to your own house, and when your feet enter the city, the child shall die, and all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him. But those that die in the city will be eaten by dogs, and those that die in the field will be eaten by birds. See, that's a disgrace. Moreover, verse 14, the Lord shall raise up a king over Israel who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day. But what? Even now, the descent has begun. For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water. So it is, this man has continued in idolatry. Even royal families are not exempt from the wrath of God for sin. See, God is a great equalizer. And we do reap what we sow. It is interesting in this child, in him, there is some good thing toward the Lord. You almost have to wonder, where did this little kid get any goodness toward God? He certainly didn't get it from Dad. And it doesn't look like he got it from Mom. And yet God knows the heart. Is that amazing? See, this is why we have to be very careful how we judge. There is something good in this child. It says that Israel is going to be shaken as a reed in water. Just constantly moving. Moving with the current, swaying with the current, having no stability. And so are God's people when they're in sin. They have no strength and they're unstable. Ahijah spoke boldly. He had no fear of this woman. He had no fear of Jeroboam. He feared God and he obeyed. In his message, Jeroboam is reminded of God's commands and promises. In verses 7 and 8. In verse 9, Ahijah plainly states Jeroboam's wickedness. And in 10 through 16, great evil will be upon the house of Jeroboam because of his sins. Jeroboam sought the future of his son, and he got the future of his entire house and the nation. He got a whole lot more and a very different scenario than he had set out to do. 17, and Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. And when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned. It doesn't say that Jeroboam's wife said anything to the prophet. What's there to be said? She could have asked for prayer. She could have asked for forgiveness. Therefore, I think she's just as guilty as her husband. The child died as God said it would. And interesting, he was more honorable, and he was the one that died. I want to review quickly some key points from this passage. Jeroboam made a very concentrated effort to find out the welfare of his son, but he would make no application or effort toward his relationship with God. God is a prayer away. He didn't even consult his golden calves. They were insufficient in troubled times. He didn't ask the prophet to pray. They did not want truth, but they wanted a glimpse of the future. There was a time when Ahijah told good tidings to Jeroboam that he would be the king, but now he delivers a message of sorrow. It was absolutely, unquestionably Jeroboam's fault. He can blame no one else. He was warned. He disqualified himself, and yet he expected to get good news from the prophet, or at least cooperation. He had confidence for sure that this prophet could foretell the future, but he didn't think he could see through his wife's disguise. She made her journey. She came for good tidings, but got bad tidings. She's told that when she gets home, the child would die. Think about that one. If you have any credibility in the prophet, if I go home, my child will die. But I have to go home. I can't stay away forever. Do you think she paused as she started to approach the city? Possibly. What choice does she have? When you're in sin, you don't have a lot of good choices, do you? Jeroboam's faulty thinking is that he was at odds with God and hence the prophet. He tried in his own abilities to get help from the prophet. He's not considering the kingdom that was promised to him. He's not considering the kingdom that was split, as the prophet said. He is not considering that the altar rent, as the prophet said. He has very faulty thinking. Jeroboam has a very high opinion of himself and a very low opinion of God. Now this boy, Abijah, he's going to be the only one buried because God saw something good toward the Lord. Look at verse 13. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him. For he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing. We don't know what it is. We don't know how old this kid is, but we do know this. God knows our deep innermost thoughts. He knows our convictions and our attitudes. And God saw what was in that boy. The rest of the family died in disgrace. The boy was buried. Verse 11, him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat. And if they run to the fields, the birds will eat them. You know, it's interesting with this little boy, as the family's going to suffer horrible after death, their bodies being mutilated. We don't know what the good was, but we know that we shouldn't judge people for their family ties. They might be completely different than some of the other members. It is clear that this boy was not killed by God's anger. But for some reason, God saw this young boy needed to die. Do you see more of God is in control and how much God's in control? How did the prophet Ahijah know that lady was Jeroboam's wife? God told him. God can lay things on people's hearts or bring things to understanding that would not normally happen. He knew that Ahijah could foretell the future, but he thought he was exempt from being discovered. His plan failed miserably. His wife was discovered by a blind man. His son died. His golden calves failed him. His sins affected the generations to come. Please take a look at chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed shaken in the water. Verse 16, and he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and who made Israel to sin. I want you to see the immediate prophecy, the child died. Verse 12, arise thou therefore, get thee to thine own house. When thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. Prophecy. But there's also a long-term prophecy that Israel is going to be destroyed, wiped out, gone. Please take a look. Now this is years later. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 6. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria, which is part of the northern kingdom, and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hala in Habor by the river of Gozan in the cities of the Medes. Gone. Gone. God is not mocked. If he said it, it shall come to pass. We take a look at this and it boggles the mind. How can people dwell in such sin and yet see the evidence and proofs of God? His power, his influence upon people, his ability to make things happen like kingdoms split and you're the king. A blind man see your wife, know who she is. Through it all, Jeroboam was stubborn. He never called on God. Let us learn. These chapters are almost depressing to read, but they're truth. And we must guard ourselves, this man who was granted so much potential in life, has failed miserably.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.